Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 7, and we will read verses 31 through 37, and then we're just going to allow the Holy Ghost to have its way. Amen? So allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time of worship and praise and glory unto your name. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus, Our Wonderful Healer. How many believe that God has healed you? Oh, come on. When he drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light and he brought us to the cross, he healed us at that moment. Hallelujah. And so we're going to look in these passages of Scripture just to see that the Gentile world, you got to remember, Jesus first came for the Jews. But it seems like as we read through the book of Mark, that there were many Gentiles who heard and saw the miracles that Jesus was doing for his people. And they wanted the same blessing. And so I'm excited because we as Gentiles, we're not Jews. Rent from a Jewish synagogue, but we're not Jews here, amen? And these are not Jewish or Messianic believers as well. We're so blessed to be here. It's hard to explain, but God supernaturally planted us here, amen? And so let's look at these verses of Scripture, and we'll expound and ask God to take us where he needs us to take us, amen? So let's read right up here. It says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon. And so we saw last week that these cities are still cursed today. But Jesus had to go to these cities. Why? Because there was a lot of commerce. There were port cities. And so many people in that area. So let's look at this right here. He came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand. Come on. Verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaim it. It's almost like an act of disobedience. He said, man, don't tell anyone. But let me just say this. If you was crippled and deaf, dumb and mute, and God healed you, I don't think you're going to be able to keep your mouth shut. Can I get amen? You're going to tell somebody. And many of them that brought their relatives or friends or whoever they brought to Jesus, Jesus performed that miraculous thing that we call a miracle. And they couldn't keep silent. You got to remember, there was no iPhone, there was no internet, there was no television, there was no satellite, there was nothing. But they went from door to door, mouth to mouth, telling people about this wonderful healer that's in the midst of them. And so, let's break this down, and let's just see where God takes us tonight in this ending of chapter 7. So it reads, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all these things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Wow. Again, departing. He departed. He departed from the region of Tyre, Sidon. He came through the midst of the region of Decapolis. We talked about Decapolis. Remember that? Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment, his speech. Meaning, how many have you came across someone that couldn't speak or was deaf? It's kind of odd. You can't really communicate with them, huh? Unless you know sign language, you're not going to know how to communicate with this individual. So he had a defect, obviously. Probably had it from birth. But let's look at this. And they begged him to put his hand on him. So the towns, the majority of the towns that Jesus went, they were Gentile towns, meaning the whole area was majority Gentiles. That's people like you and I. We're not a Jew. So this continues the emphasis of the previous miracle. Remember, as we've been reading through the book of Mark, he performed miracle after miracle after miracle. Remember last week we talked about the one that was, Jesus rebuked the devil and came out. The demons came out, amen? And so Jesus had been part of this region before. And so he came back a second time, because as we look in Mark, look at this. In chapter 5, it says, however, Jesus did not permit him to say to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis. So he was there in chapter 5, and now we're reading in chapter 7. He comes back to that town. This is why there's no excuse. This is why till this day, those regions out there have been cursed. Why? Because after all the miracles, they all fell in disbelief, unbelief. And that's one of the grievous sins unto God, is we all always must remember what God has done for us. Can I get amen? And so Mark, who wrote this book, alone recorded the miracle of the healing of this deaf and mute man. And so apparently saying several of this man's friends brought him to Jesus. And they had faith that Jesus could heal him. They had faith. I can't speak for the man who was deaf. He probably didn't, since he couldn't hear. But those that brought him had faith. This is why, saints, it's important to witness and to testify and to bring souls to church. Why? Because you never know what God's going to do. Amen. You have to have faith to believe that God's able to do something mighty in their life. How many of you brought people to church and saw them get saved? Oh, come on. That's right. And it's a glorious thing to see when God gets a hold of their heart. And so the key to Mark's recording of the miracle may be found in the Greek word translated speech impediment. The word is found only here in the Greek Septuagint. It's the version of the Old Testament found in Isaiah. Look at this right up here. Those who cannot speak will shout and sing. So it was prophesied that when Jesus would appear and come on the scene, that many in this condition were going to sing and shout. Why? Because Jesus will have delivered them. I know I was shouting and singing and praising God when I got saved. I don't know about you. But you couldn't keep my mouth shut. I must have called up 50 people and they said, man, what is that brother on now? That's right. Because God delivered me from the drug life. He delivered me from the gang life. He delivered me from all kinds of manner of iniquity. And when I got saved, I was so happy to be saved. I was filled with so much joy. I could not hold back the joy that God had. It was the great exchange. He took my black heart and gave me a heart of flesh. And he gave me a spirit. He gave me his power. Hallelujah. That's what he did for you, didn't he? You wouldn't be here if you didn't have that joy of the Lord. Can I get amen? Unbelievers, man, they just have something about the word that they can't really ingest it. And a lot of them don't even have no discernment for God's word. Can I get amen? Mark saw the fulfillment of Isaiah's words in the healing ministry of Jesus. Saints, let's take a closer look, though, at verse 32. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. Notice a key word right up here. They begged him. They were pleading, oh God, would you heal him? Oh God. You know, many of us are called by bedsides and to pray for the sick and those. You know what? You have to go and believe God's able to raise them up. Can I get an amen? And a lot of times, if you translate that word, it's almost like the word tarry, where you keep pressing. You keep pressing on and you don't give up. Can I get an amen? They didn't. They begged Jesus. Jesus, we brought him here. We want to see you now heal this man and set him free. And so we have to notice that they begged Jesus. And we need to understand that the attribute and character of God is what? Let me ask you this question. What is Jesus' main as God? Remember, he was 100% man, 100% God. So what was his main attribute that he demonstrated? Love. That's a good word. What else? Okay. And we could probably list a whole bunch of wonderful attributes that he has. But one of the things that he had on that particular man and many others, and he's also had on you and I, is what? Mercy. Mercy. He had mercy. And this is why we have to be always in awe of God. And this is why we always need to press in and glorify him and magnify him and never forsake the things of God. Why? Because he had so much mercy on us. Look what it says in the book of James right up here. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of what?
Mercy.
God is full of mercy. Mercy and good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy. In other words, there's no favorites in the kingdom of God. There's just the saints of God, you and I. We're all equal at the cross. Can I get an amen? And one of the attributes that you and I have that God gave us is mercy. We should have the same mercy. Can I get an amen? Do you have mercy on your brother and sister when they do you wrong? When you've been talked about? When you've been belittled, is there mercy still? Can I get amen? There's got to be mercy, amen? Why? Because look what we used to do against the law of God. We deserve death. We deserve to be on this cross, but Jesus showed mercy on us, didn't he? Look how King David, he understood God's grace and his mercy. Right up here in Psalms, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in what? Man, I don't know how long. Man, I was rolling in sin from the age of 15 all the way to the age of 30 when I got saved. And God had tremendous mercy. He could have just, bam, stepped on me like a bug and I was done. But he didn't. He chose to have mercy on me. Guess what? He chose to have mercy on you. So King David, how many times did he sin before God? He fell into what? Adultery. He did all kinds of slanderous things against God. But yet, one of the things that I find about King David, instead of being full of pride and running away, he would run to God and he would repent. And God will show mercy. Mercy. And so the Lord is good to all. And his tender what? Mercies are all over his works. So if you look at this world we live in, it's full of mercy. Listen, the air is perfect to breathe. The food that he has provided. The shelter that he has given us. The clothes on our backs. The jobs that we have. Everything is because of his mercy. Mercy. You got to remember that word tonight. Mercy. He's full of mercy. Listen, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, he could have just started all over again. But guess what he saw? He saw you thousands of years later, that he would draw out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our names are already written in his mind, in his heart, before we were even conceived in our mother's womb. My goodness. Look how King Solomon viewed mercy right up here. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. But he who despises his neighbor sins. But he who has what? Mercy on the poor. Happy is he. I believe God is speaking to all of us tonight, is to continue to have mercy despite of what they have said, despite of what they have done, despite of anything that could have went wrong, especially in relationships. Have mercy. See, God, I forgive. Have mercy. Don't hold it against them. Can I get amen? Move on. Don't stay in that situation. You know why? You'll allow to have spiritual cancer hit you. And that'll cause you to flee from God. Hallelujah. God is good. How many believe God is good? So saints, Jesus had tremendous mercy on you and I. Can I get amen? Look at this right up here in Titus. Look at this. But when the kindness and the love of God and Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, you and I, we can't boast about this great salvation. We can't say, oh man, look at me now. Or look what I'm doing now. Or look what I've done, God. Nuh-uh. The Bible says our own righteousness is but what? Filthy rags. But it says right here, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. When he had mercy and we confessed our sin, the greatest change is he took that ugly heart, he gave us a new heart, and then he gave us his spirit. And now we can experience heaven on earth. Can I get amen? It's not about the material. The material, that thing's going to burn away one day. It's about our eternal destiny. Can I get amen? It's the end game. But see, I found out as I was studying last week and I brought that message Sunday, God showed me that the gate, the door, the gateway to that blessed place called eternity, this flesh has to die. We have to bust out of this cocoon. We're in a cocoon right now. You ever seen a cocoon and then a beautiful butterfly comes out and flies away? That's going to be us. We're going to bust out of this cocoon and we're going to be into glory. Hallelujah. Somebody need a shout and praise God. Can I get amen? Give him praise tonight because he has a beautiful place for us in the kingdom of God. And it awaits us. And he's patient with our lives. As we go through trials and tribulations, as we go through the things of heartache and setbacks in life, God already sees the other side to it. He sees the end game. Hallelujah. He sees us rejoicing in his presence forevermore. Look what it says here in verse 6, whom he poured out on us abundantly. He just didn't give you, oh, here's a little for you. No, he poured out abundantly. Through who? Through Jesus. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to what? The hope of eternal life. Listen, I don't know if you own anything and you've created a living trust and a will, but normally if you create something like that, there's an heir. And so you write down who you're going to leave these things for and with. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, he wrote the will for you and I. We were grafted in by faith. We were adopted into the hope of glory. Come on, we weren't Jews. We were Gentiles, and he grafted us in. Hallelujah. Now we are the sons and daughters of God. Can I get amen? You got to believe God, what he's doing in your life. Believe what he's done and what he's doing. Jesus wanted to heal this man, but again, he wasn't looking for crowd acclaim in his healings. He wasn't looking at, well, look what I'm doing. No, he walked in humility. Thus, he took the man to a private place so they could be away from the crowd. Saints, one possible reason for Jesus' use, because he spat on him, didn't he? He spat, and there was something about that saliva. They were looking at him, well, he spat. Man, and some of us men, man, we can come up with the big logie, huh? You remember them. Ah, boom. It's a man thing. Women use a little Kleenex. Not us, brothers. Well, boom. And you better make sure that window's down or it's going to hit that glass. But look at this. One possible reason for Jesus' use of saliva was to do with the beliefs of his contemporary culture. He was using things so that they can gravitate, they could understand. Because in the Old Testament, saliva was used for many different purposes. So several Roman writers and Jewish rabbis considered saliva to be a valid treatment for blindness. If you have read the teachings of Josephus and all these ancient writers, they would picture this. It's not really described in the word, but Jesus did it. We just read, he spat, man. He spat and touched his tongue. So he spat on his hand, and then he touched his tongue. Let me try that with you right now. Come on. Oh, my gosh. And so since the people of that day had a high view of saliva's healing properties, Jesus used spit to communicate his intention to heal. Those being healed would have naturally interpreted Jesus' spitting as a sign that they would soon be cured. But we all know it had nothing to do with the saliva. It was the power of God. Hallelujah, that was in him. He had to use something they can identify first. He kind of like had to ease them up. And so the greater need of each of these and those who were healed was the need for increased faith. He needed to build their faith somehow. Jesus recognized this spiritual need and offered a physical action as a means of raising their expectations and focusing their faith on himself. So saints, Jesus intended to deal with the man on a personal level. Did you know he dealt with you on a personal level? Amen. And let me just say this. You can't take nobody with you. When it's time to go be with him, you got to go all by yourself. Can I get amen? If someone's trying to hold on to your pant leg, it's just going to let go. Because you can't take nobody with you. It's one-on-one. It's a personal relationship. And so Jesus intended to deal with this man on a personal level, not use him as an advertisement of healing power. He didn't put any of this on parade. All he was demonstrating was mercy and grace. You know how many doctors they probably went to? Even the voodoo men of the day couldn't do anything for these people. But the God of all gods showed up, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Mark went on to further describe this miracle in detail. Apparently, the disciples were with Jesus and that man. And so in this instance, saints, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears and then spit onto his own fingers and touched the man's tongue with the spittle. To you and I, that would be, ugh. So just remember, if we do an altar call here, make sure that I don't do all that, okay? Jesus often used and touched in his healings. And in addition, spittle was commonly recognized in the ancient world as having healing properties. So he used that in a way so that they can identify the ancient of days. But yet, We all know that that spittle had no effect other than his power. And he spoke. Remember, he was the Word of God standing right in front of them. He was the Word all by himself right there in front of them. And a lot of them missed it. They didn't know who he was. That's right. The man responded in faith and desire for healing. He wanted healing. So let's go back to verse 34 now, or 33. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. He spat and he touched his what? His tongue. Verse 34. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha. How many know what that word means? Yeah. That we're close. That word is be opened. So he put his fingers, and Jesus said, Ephphatha. Is that what it says in your Bible? Huh? Is it in red in your Bible? It says Ephphatha, doesn't it? I'm not making up no words up here. And that is to what? Be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Man, we don't know how long his condition was, but let me just say this. If you know someone is like this and can't even speak, and then all of a sudden is speaking plainly to you, my goodness, Lord have mercy. You see, God has power to pass through the flesh, the nerves, the cells, and he goes right into the DNA and rearranges it. Because that's what has to take place. The DNA has to be rearranged. My goodness, that's what Jesus did. And they were like, oh my, it was like an oh my gosh moment. I bet some that if they could, they probably were doing backflips. I just do them in my mind now. So saints, it says immediately his ears were open and the impediment of his tongue was loose and he spoke plainly. So Jesus looked upward to God, the source of his power, and he sighed, meaning, let it be thy will, Lord. The sigh was probably in sympathy for the suffering man. Whether Mark recorded these details to describe what always happened in healings or whether this was unusual is uncertain. We can't really put our finger on it. We can just observe it and know for sure it was written and this man was healed. In any case, the healing did take place. Jesus commanded the man's ears and mouth to be opened. Immediately upon Jesus speaking the word, the deaf man could hear perfectly and he spoke plainly. Wow. God's inexhaustible power, saints, poured forth in the lives of his people is seen in various applications in Scripture. Throughout the New Testament, we see Jesus doing the miraculous. He raised the dead. Can you just shout out the ones that you can think of right now who Jesus raised up from the dead? Yeah, everyone knows Lazarus. Well, who's the other one? That's right. The little girl. The Bible says the gospel itself is the power of God. You see, Paul understood this. Remember Paul? He was a rebel rouser. He was Saul of Tarsus. He came persecuting the church, didn't he? God used that same zeal that he had against the church, turned it. He flipped his heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. God had to blind his eyes. And for 3 days, man, he was like, oh, man, I want my sight back. And he repented. And God used that same. God didn't change his character. Saul was still Saul of Tarsus, but when the Holy Ghost came, you become a whole different person. Can I get an amen? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so now he's walking in power and authority and anointing. And one of the things that Paul, when he wrote to the Roman church, This is for you and I to glorify God and never to be ashamed of the Lord. Can I get an amen? It's right up here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. That's us. Man, aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? But see, the unbelieving world, when we speak about these things, even when we tell them about miracles, I'm talking about an unsaved, unregenerated person. They look at the things of God, they look at the cross as foolishness. Or had this ever happened to you? Oh, that's good for you. I'm glad you found God. And yet they're living in sin. Sin is all heaped up on them. And yet, it's foolishness to them. Why? Because they don't understand the grace and the mercy of God. They don't believe that this God, whom they don't see, and neither do we see with our natural eyes. How could this be? Well, even in the times of Jesus, they didn't understand it. But Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are what? Perishing. This is why we have to have mercy on our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, those who do not know God. Why? Because they're perishing. They're going to die and go right drop into hell. This is why we need to be a light before them. This is why we got to show them grace and mercy. Can I get amen? Because at their end game, it's total destruction. It says right here, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the what? Power of God. Thank you, Lord. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So don't be offended and don't get mad when someone says, yeah, well, that's good for you. Oh, yeah, I'll be at church and they never show up. Okay, we get that. But don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Can I get an amen? Keep praying. Because the power of God that's in you, man, I'm telling you, the anointing of God will do something miraculous. He'll use you in mighty, mighty ways. But for those who remain in unbelief, pray for them. Because their destiny is destruction. My goodness. So, saints, let's focus. Now, we're gonna shift gears because we're looking at Jesus' power healing this man, right? But guess what? Did you know that when he went away and the Holy Ghost came? Remember, he told his disciples to go into Jerusalem and tarry for the power to come, the Holy Ghost to come. So you and I who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, we're endued with power from on high. It's not power to boast about. It's not power to flaunt. It's power to walk in humility and to know that everything that's been given to us is but the grace and mercy of God. There's nothing we can say, hey, look at me now. Uh-uh. God has given each and every one of us in his kingdom the ability to do the miraculous in the midst of unbelievers. You know what the power's for? It's for a sign for them. To see what God has done for you and how he has cleansed you and washed you. He has given you a new nature. He's given you a new mind. He's given you a heart that will serve him now and worship him now. This is what God has done for us. Can I get amen? And so let's focus now on a Christian's power. We're looking and we're veering off a little bit because Jesus had the power to heal all these people that he came across with and encounter with. A Christian's power, his ability to do any of worth is received from the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? When Jesus ascended on high, he told his disciples to wait for the power. It says right up here. But you will receive what? Power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria. My goodness. Power. But you know what? That same power is mentioned in the Old Testament. It was prophesied to us in 1 Chronicles. Look, let's go back here. Look, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power of the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is what? Yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength, power to exalt and give strength to who? All. So Jesus was walking around on earth with all this power, but he said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to give it to you. My goodness. How many are so blessed to know that we have the power of God? And you know what I found out that power of God is? To live holy. To keep us restrained. It's kind of a restraint amongst the things in our culture, the things in the world. Because the world wants to entice you. The world wants to cause you and tempt you to sin. But without the Holy Ghost, we have no power over those things. We will give into our flesh. That's why an unbeliever, you can't tell them, well, you know what? You two need to get married. They don't understand that. God, because they have no power. And without God's power, they have no discernment for the scripture. And so it's tough nowadays that we live in. Now they just brought a new law in New York. The woman can have a baby being born. They could put it on her side, and then she can have a discussion with the doctor to say, terminate this baby. We live in ungodly, evil days. Jesus said that in the last days, it will be like what? Noah and the days of Lot. It was violent, and it was totally immoral. And God had to come and wash it away. This time, though, saints, He's going to do it with fire. He's got to burn it away. And he'll use a Putin. He'll use a China. He'll use some of them to drop bombs on us. This is why we need to pray. Can I get amen? And we need to ask God, God, keep us in your power. Keep us, oh God. You see, saints, without the Holy Spirit, the disciples would just be spinning their wheels. You and I, we're not spinning our wheels. We got the Holy Ghost living inside. Can I get amen? No matter how talented or energetic or enthused they were in presenting the gospel, we need God's Holy Ghost power. Can I get amen? So a Christian's power from God strengthens the inner being. This flesh, forget about the flesh. The flesh is going to always want to have a Burger King life, having it my way. But if the inner man is built up, can I get an amen? Now you can subdue the flesh. Say, uh-uh, flesh, you're not going to have its way. Look at that. Look at this in Ephesians right up here. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with what? Power through his spirit in the inner being. This is what we need to walk in the times that we live in the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? We can talk a good talk, but can you live that walk? Can you demonstrate the power? Hallelujah. Look at this. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. We do not lose heart because even though outwardly we are what? We're wasting away. You know, man, I gave up. There's nothing to comb no more. This body's wasting away. So it's not about the outer. Look at this. Yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Thank you, Jesus. It's about the Holy Ghost living inside. It's about living for God. It's about having eternity in our sight. Can I get amen? The cross before us, the world behind us. Thank you, God. A Christian's power from God enables him or her to become a servant of the gospel. See, once you get saved, man, are you serving God now? Are you sowing into the field? Because that's what he called us to do. He called us to serve. Can I get amen? Oh, yes, I got some word right up here for that. I became a servant of this gospel by the gifts of God. Grace given me through the working of his what? Power. So once you've been enabled with power, man, you want to serve. That's right. You want to serve? What can I do? I want to do something for God. And remember, you got to keep that perspective. It's about for God. It's not about for the pastor or for the church, the organization, the ministry. No, it's about serving God. Can I get amen? Other institutes have it all flipped out. It's about serving. No, it's about serving God. Serve the Lord with your whole heart. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. So a Christian's power is not his own. Can I get amen? After God used Peter to heal a lame beggar, the apostle explained to astonished lookers that were there onlookers that this man was healed not by Peter's own power, but through faith in the name of Jesus. There's only one name that can save. Can I get an amen? There's only one name, hallelujah, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's all kinds of institutes out there. In the name of the Father. No, I don't see that. You know what I say? This is what I say. If you could show me how the apostles baptized in the whole book of Acts in the New Testament and show me that, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I'll sign my house over to you. It was all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Why? Because there's power in the name. Look, did we get saved? Oh, the Spirit saved me. No, the Father saved me. No, the Son saved us. Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Yes. And what's his name?
Jesus.
Oh, what's his name?
Jesus.
Oh, come on. I don't need to teach you that, right? You guys already know. That's right. Power in his name. Look at this. In Acts 3:12. So when Peter saw, when he saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? This was someone that they had laid hands and prayed for. Look how he further explains this. He says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Remember, they wanted Barabbas. So you have to look at it like this. Here was Jesus, the sinless Savior. And we were all like Barabbas. We were all like Barabbas. And guess what? They gave him Barabbas. They kept Jesus. But it had to be that way. Because we as Barabbas, we eventually came to the cross, and Jesus saved us. Aren't you so blessed to know that no matter how wretched we were, he still went down to the lowest of the lows to save us? I like to say it like this. He went through the barrio to find me. Yes, right. He found us in back alleys. He found us in crack houses. Man, he found a lot of us in many dark places. Can I get amen? But God gets all the glory. Whom you delivered up and denied. Look at, and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Look at verse 15 here. And kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which you are witnesses. And his name, what's his name?
Jesus.
Through faith in his what? Name. Has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The name. And that name is Jesus. Thank you, God. Now, a Christian's power from God enables him to endure suffering in the face of persecution. Let me ask you this. Has anyone persecuted you for your faith? Oh, I know. I was persecuted big time. I'll share a testimony in a bit. But you know what? God will do something glorious if you stand for him. Can I get amen on that? Look what Paul wrote to Timothy. The Spirit of God gave us, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us what? Power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me in his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of what? God. Man, I gotta share this, because God's saying share this, because we're talking about this right up here, about the power of God. This was many years ago, 30 years ago. By the grace of God, I made it to 60. I never thought I'd make it this far. Not the life that I once lived. But I just got saved at 30, and God gave me back my mind. He gave me back my whole life back, because I was sowing it all to the devil. I tore up the first marriage. I was living in a two-car garage. That's right, a two-car garage, and they were renting it. And that was my little cubbyhole for many years. And I was content there. But God saved me and put me there. Amen? And I was down to last 6 months of unemployment, because Western Lumber had laid me off for the very first time. I was there for about 15 years. So, man, I'm praying, man. I'm saying, oh, God, I need you, God. What am I going to do? My money's running out. I won't be able to even stay in this two-bedroom, two-car garage. And so I was praying. I was down on my knees. And then, bam, it was like the shade or the screen. There was a screen that dropped down behind my eyelids because my eyes were closed. And I saw this man's face. His name was Victor Gross, but he was the owner of the house. And I heard God speak to me. Go speak to him. I got up from my knees. I opened up my eyes. I went in from the garage into the kitchen. And there he was. He was cleaning out vegetables. I go, hey, Victor, how you doing, man? He goes, oh, yeah, how you doing, Fee? I said, hey, Vic, I need to ask you, man. What do you do? I see you have an office back here in your family room, and you're hardly ever here. He goes, oh, Fee, I've been a real estate agent for over 20 years. I go, really? I go, can you make a whole lot of money in that? He goes, well, a good year, I've made over $300,000. I go, what's a bad year? He goes, about 60. I go, oh, my gosh. Here, I've been working on Western Lumber, 10-hour days, sometimes all day Saturday. And the most I ever made was $29,000 for the whole year. I'm talking with hands hurting and just back hurting and just labor. I go, man, I would love to do that. He said, do you want to be a real estate agent? I said, oh, Vic, what does it take, man? He goes, you just got to go to school, prepare for the state exam. And once you pass the state exam, you can hang your license with any broker. I go, wow, man. I go, that's what you did? He goes, yeah. I go, I would love to do that. He goes, Fee, you want to be a real estate agent? I go, Vic, I don't got no money. I don't even know what it takes. He says, I didn't ask you how much it costs. He goes, do you want to be a real estate agent? I said, I would love to. He goes, but I told him again. I go, Vic, I don't have no money. He goes, don't ask me that again. Don't worry about that. He goes, do you want to be a real estate agent? I go, yeah, Vic, I would. He says, meet me here at 7 in the morning in the kitchen. I'll go sign you up at real estate school, School of Real Estate at Anthony's in Chula Vista. I woke up. He took me down there. He wrote the check for my whole course. And, man, God gave me my mind back, and I studied for, it normally takes 3 months, 6 weeks, man. I just plugged in and just started learning these things. I passed my state exam. And then God put me in a place called Veteran Real Estate on Plaza Boulevard. So I had to share that, how I got there. Now I'm here. I'm born again, love the Lord. I'm inside this real estate office. There's 17 agents sharing this thing, right? And so our broker, Archer Sagman, This is what he said. He said, all right, you guys share this radio, and you guys can change it every hour. So someone would come up and put rock. Someone would put country and western. Some guy would put the news on. I went up there, and I put it on K-Praise. And man, here we go. Here we go. Man, one by one, they would get up and go tell, hey, Archer, man, get this stuff off, man. We don't want to hear this. And so Archer would, he brought me back into his office. He goes, is there anything else you can? I go, I thought you said this was everyone's hour who are here. I go, that's my hour. And the reason why he really didn't interfere, because I was his top sales guy. I was putting 4 or 5 homes a month in escrow, and all these ones were just laying there. Just they had no place to go. They just had a license saying realtor. And I was his high producer, man, and he was conflicted. He didn't know what to do. And so this takes me back. I was sitting in my desk, and my loan officer came up and says, Fee, we need to talk. I only had one in escrow at that time, and I needed it to close. I had my little 2-car garage rent, and I had a little car that I was making a little payment on, and I needed that to close so I could pay my bills. But my loan officer, Shauna, told me to come back and see her. She goes, Fee, you're one client that you're in escrow with right now. This is about to fall apart. I go, what? What do you mean? She goes, yeah. They did a title search and finds out that she's still married. And we can't close escrow because she wrote down that she's single. And state of California is community property. And so they couldn't close escrow and insure that title on that condo that she's buying. I said, no. So I went to my broker's office, Archer, and I shared with him. He goes, Fee, call up all the title companies and see what they can do. I called up Orange Coast, Old Republic, First American, you name it. There was 10 of them in the county at the time. I call them all up, and they said, we'll get back with you. We've got to check with our legal department. I call back, every one of them, one by one. Sorry, there's a rule about this. And so after the 10th one I called, I went to the very back where the coffee room was, and I was back there, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I was in there praying, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. You said you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, I need this. I need this now. And there was this one Jewish agent. Her name was Shoshana. She despised me. Every time I opened up my Bible on my desk, she'd go out and smoke cigarettes And she was one of the complainers because I had K-Praise on. She walked by where I was, and she went, like just like that, man, like a little witch. And you know what? And I just stayed in prayer in that little room. I said, Lord, you will supply. And then I heard her. She went to the front room. She goes, he's praying back there. And they were all laughing. It was a full house that day. All 17 of us were in there. You know, they're all cracking up and everything. After I finished praying, man, I felt the Holy Ghost fall on me. The Holy Ghost fell on me, man. And I was thinking, okay, God is just giving me comfort and joy to go through this, you know. That. And so I went back in the front room, sat in my desk, and it was like silent. And, you know, some of them want to laugh. They all knew, you know, in that little office, they all knew your business. So I'm just sitting there. I opened up my Bible. I was reading quietly. The front door opened. A lady walks in. She's passing out her cards to everyone. I looked at it. She didn't stay long. She was almost out the door. I said, Sharon, right? She goes, yeah. I go, I didn't find you in the phone book, Orange Coast title. Oh, she goes, oh, we just came down from Los Angeles. We're trying to open up a branch down here. I go, Will you hear my predicament right now? Sure. Tell me what it is. So I sat with her in the very front of the office, explained to her. She goes, I got to call my legal team, and I'll get back with you right now. I go, oh, here we go, the legal team. So use this phone right here. So she was using the phone, and I went back to my seat, and everyone was in the office. They were silent. And I'm sitting at my desk. I'm just trusting God. She hung up the phone. She came up to me like this. I was sitting at my desk. She goes, she looked at my tag on my desk. She goes, Fee, right? I go, yeah. She goes, when do you want to close? She goes, yeah, they approved it. We'll cover that title. I was sitting like this. I said, what? I got up and I looked at everyone in there. I said, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. That Shoshana lady got up. She sped out of the room. She smoked about a pack of cigarettes in the front. She got in her car. I didn't see her again for about 2 weeks. You see, God is perfected even in the face of persecution. Can I get an amen? He is. Look. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Can I get an amen? The power of God came on me. And God said, just hold, slow your roll. I'm going to do something right now. Let me just say this. When you find yourself in predicaments that you cannot get out of, that's when you got to rely on God. Can I get amen? Because a Christian's power is perfected in weakness. I was weak at the bottom. I had nowhere to go. I had no money. It had to be God and him alone. Look right here. I believe it's in, let me see, I got it right here. No, I didn't put this one scripture, but let me read it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so a Christian finds power in prayer. This is where the power comes from. I was back there praying. I wasn't back there. We didn't have iPhones back then, so we couldn't get on Facebook or all that and, you know, send out a group text, you know. No, none of that. There was no internet to find properties. You were given a book. And they would list the properties in the book. It was like a phone book. And you had to physically go out there and drive around. You had to physically call the agent. It didn't show active or pending or all that. We didn't have the technology back then. But that power came through prayer. Prayer. Look what it says here in James right here. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In the King James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person is what? Availeth much. Don't give up on prayer. This is why I'm always advocating. Come out to pray. Why? Because you know what? Some of us need breakthroughs. There's things in our lives that seem impossible. And then God, man, comes and poof, kisses you on the cheek. He goes, yeah, all you had to do was trust me. And I'll make a way like no other way. And that you can glorify me and magnify me on what I've done in your life. Hallelujah. As we close, these are the last two scriptures in chapter 7. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all these things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Tonight I proclaim what God did for me 30 years ago. And guess what? He's still doing those miracles today. Don't give up on hope in Christ. Saints, even though the miracle had been done in private, its results were obvious to the waiting crowd. The man, formerly deaf and barely able to talk, suddenly could hear and speak. Jesus asked the people not to talk about this healing because he didn't want to be seen simply as a miracle worker. He didn't want the people to miss the real message. But the people simply could not keep quiet. So they continued to spread the good news of God. So it went out. People had to go tell someone, listen, when you got saved, you couldn't keep it to yourself. Can I get an amen? When God did that miracle for me back then, God was showing off through his servant. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to show off you in front of an unbelieving world. That God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Can I get an amen? And let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this chapter as we conclude Mark 7. Lord, I pray, God, that whatever is going through right now, Lord, that you would be the God that will do the miraculous for us, and in the midst, especially in the midst of unbelievers, they could see and know that there is a God in heaven, that God's able to see his servants through the most difficult storms in their life. Lord, I thank you, God, for those who pressed out tonight. Lord, I pray for those who couldn't make it tonight. I pray that I'll see them again at another appointed time. But Lord, thank you for those who have pressed out. I pray blessings upon each and every one of us. But I'm also praying for those who are listening to this message that never received the Lord Jesus Christ, ever. And so wherever this message has landed, through the internet, through Facebook, wherever it may go, Lord, I pray, Lord, that it does not come back void. Lord, that someone's hope would be met through their faith in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, for those who have never received you as Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that they would receive you by faith. And even after the confession of their faith, that they would find a place to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And so, Lord, if there are those that are listening to this message and they never surrendered, we'll pray this simple prayer of faith with you. The prayer doesn't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise and glory in the house. He's worthy, amen?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.